Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Today we're gonna just kind of be a standalone. Y'all know I like to do things thematically. I like to do series, but we just finished Christmas and we're not ready to start anything new yet. So I just thought, what would my prayer be for you, for me, for my family? For all of us going into 2019, and I really felt the Holy Spirit leading me back to a passage that's very near and dear to me for a variety of different reasons. But we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3 today, verses 14 through 21. This is Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus, and right in the middle of this letter. That's on page 950 in our pew Bibles, but if you're in your own Bible, Ephesians chapter 3. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul this morning. And he writes, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Gracious Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. In today's scripture, we find ourselves almost in the exact middle of the halfway point of the letter to the church in Ephesus. For three chapters, Paul's been telling them who they are in Christ. Because of God's glorious riches, who they are in Christ, both Jew and Gentile. And in chapter 4, he's going to make a shift. And we've talked about this before, but that shift is going to transition from who we are to then, if this is who we are, this is how then we should live. And he'll carry that out through the remainder of that letter. So as we approach the new year, countless people, maybe including some of you, will make one of my arch nemesis, New Year's resolutions. I can't stand New Year's resolutions. And here's why. I don't ever make them work. They say that 80% of New Year's resolutions, people have lost their motivation and commitment by mid-February. Isn't that crazy? We're not even half a year. A month and a half. That's how far it will get them. And that's been my experience. After a few weeks of trying to eat better, going to the gym, spending less, losing weight, I run out of motivation of trying to do it all on my own. And I think part of it is because we want the results of our resolutions without having to put in the effort it takes to get our resolutions. I think that's pretty much, if you've been bored or if you're a sports fan, you've been watching a lot of bowl games. Some of you watched some yesterday. Some of those teams show up wanting to win, right? Some of those players show up wanting to play. but they don't practice like they want to play. But they'll sure pout on the bench because coach didn't put them in. Coach doesn't like me. Coach doesn't like the way you practice. That's what coach doesn't like. Well, my team's just pitiful. Your team may be pitiful, but they probably prepared pitiful too. And the other team that won is probably either just better or prepared better, right? I mean, that's how it, most of the time, that's how it works. But I believe the same can be said about our faith. Some of the times we want the benefits of being a Christian without putting the efforts in that Christ called us to when he said to take up your cross and to grow in your faith. I think that's the sad reality, that far too many believers have little to no desire to even grow in their faith. Little to no desire to make any kind of sacrifice that pushes them to the point of discomfort or giving up their wills. So Paul's reminding these people who they really are in Christ. And then he petitions God on their behalf on his knees, which is a fairly rare term to read in some of Paul's letters. But it's showing the submission, is showing the desperation of Paul's prayer. And the first thing Paul prays for these people is that they would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. He says that this is an inner strength. I hope that it strengthens you in your inner being. And that inner being is what should control every aspect of our lives. We talk a lot around here, and some of you like the fact we talk about it, some of you don't. But we talk about becoming and making disciples. And this week, I've really had to kind of sit down and think about that phrase. And the reality is, I think I've failed you in that phrase in two main ways. The first is that I think sometimes we think that's something we can do on our own. That we can just try harder and we'll become a better disciple. It just doesn't work that way. Becoming a better disciple is the work of the Holy Spirit that slowly transforms and sanctifies and changes who we are in our hearts. And then it becomes part of how we live. That's why we say it's by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we can then pursue our lives after Christ, and that alone is what helps us become and make disciples. But the second way that I think we have failed to maybe see this correctly is that we act like it will just happen if we do nothing. That we can just show up every now and then, be good people, as long as we're better than the other people, right? Then we'll become better disciples. It doesn't work that way. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to work, but sometimes we have to provide opportunities for us to encounter God's grace. Not too long ago, we studied the means of grace and how that provides an opportunity for God to speak into our lives. The reality is that healthy churches find a balance between the Holy Spirit doing the work and the people putting in the effort. So my prayer as we head towards 2019 is that we would be that kind of church. That where we trust the Holy Spirit to do the work that only the Holy Spirit can do, but we would hold up our end of the bargain as well. Paul continues and he prays that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. He says, you've got an aspect in that. It's your faith that allows Christ to dwell. To dwell means to take up residence or to stay for an extended period of time. This doesn't just happen either. Paul says, if you'll see it, he says, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. That's how Christ begins to dwell in our hearts. Christ said the greatest commandment was to love God with all we have and our neighbor as ourselves. We've all heard that Christ is love. And so if we're not being rooted and grounded in love, then there is no reason for Christ to dwell in our hearts if he is love. I'm going to say something today that may be borderline controversial, but I think it's true. And if you're mad about it, maybe we need to pray about it together. But there's a difference between believers and disciples. That's scriptural. There were a lot of people that believed Jesus was the Messiah. There were a lot of people that believed his miracles, but they wouldn't dare follow him. Matter of fact, it even says these teachings were too hard, and so they left and went home. They believed, but they didn't want to follow. If we're going to be disciples, we have to wholeheartedly live our lives by the Great Commission and by the greatest command. We cannot ignore either of those two things. We have to grow in our love of God and our love of neighbor. Then we have to go and be the witnesses to share Christ's love with others. That's what made early Methodism a revival movement. Is it was grounded in love. Love of those that were marginalized and excluded from the rest of society, including the Anglican Church. The Anglican Church didn't want those types of people here. So John Wesley and the Methodists went out to the coal mines, the prisons, and the fields. The church people got mad they were preaching outside the church. So mad they said, "You can't come back in the church." I don't think they wanted back in the church, because the revival spread anyway. I read this week and I thought this was powerful. It says, a disciple is someone who has moved from being the recipient of the church's mission to being responsible for the church's mission. We have to at some point move from being, well, what can the church do for me, to how can I be a part of the church doing for somebody else? Paul continues in his final petition of this prayer. He says that he hopes the readers, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, would know how much Christ loves them. He says that I hope you can understand the breadth and the depth and the height and the width of how much God loves you. Then he admits, you really can't know how much Christ loves you. It's beyond your human capabilities. He says, because it's the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. But he also says he's praying this so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God, that love, that guidance of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God that makes us a reflection of his Son, our Savior to all the world. That we would be so full of God that other people would want a little bit of what we have. Now, it's just the truth. What is today? The 30th. You're just as full of God as you were on January the 1st, church. Something's wrong. That's not okay. Well, preacher, you're being kind of mean. I'm just telling you the truth. We shouldn't be just as full of God as we were 5 years ago. We shouldn't, for those of us that are, been in church a long time, we shouldn't have the same amount of fullness of God that we had when we were a youth. Going to UMYF or Awana's or... But even if you're new to the faith, hear me, if you're new to the faith, or if you're just kind of getting back into it, you know, sometimes we fall away from our exercise and then we slowly get back into it. You shouldn't be as full today as you were last week. You should be more full. And it should grow, and it should grow until eventually you're so full of God that it overflows into everything. I love the way Paul ends this prayer. He ends it with a doxology or a praise to God. He says, now to him who by the power at work within us, the Holy Spirit, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. Then he gives him the glory. To you be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Then he says, amen. So what is the goal for 2019? That is part of my job, is to have a vision and a goal. My goal for you, for me, for my family, I wouldn't want anything for you that I wouldn't want my family to live up to either. Is that by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we truly would pursue after looking and living like Christ. that we truly would allow the power of the Holy Spirit to help us become a better reflection of the people we've been called to be, so that we can transform the world by making disciples of people who are lost. At some point, churches we have to get back to being passionate about people who are lost. We've lost that. No pun intended. We've got family members. Some of us may be eating lunch or dinner or breakfast sometime this week with people we love who are eternally lost. And it doesn't bother us. It should bother us. Here's what we're going to focus on in 2019. We're going to grow. We're going to focus on growing in three ways. And we're going to focus on being accountable in three ways. The first is in our individual walks with Christ. The second is in community here at this church with a group of some kind. The early Methodists said this was to watch over each other in love. And then the third way that we're going to grow and that we're going to be accountable is in mission and service to others. But individually, we must grow in our walks with Christ. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 60 years or if you've been a Christian for 6 days. In 2019, you must grow in your personal relationship with Christ. You must grow in a group, in a community, whether that's a Sunday school class or a group, the UMW, or whoever that may be. Maybe it's just you get four or five people together and you're going to get together once a blue moon and check on each other's lives in Christ. Not to gossip, not to complain, but to say, how can I pray for you so that you can look more like Jesus? And then we're going to be accountable and grow in how we serve one another. Here at this church, that's why we say that we offer our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service to this congregation. But we're also going to focus on serving others because we also say our witness. I know that that's not popular, but it worked for Jesus. It worked for the early Methodist. And something tells me that even if just a handful of people buy in, it'll be better for this church in the long run. You're about to receive two things. One is the list of goals that y'all set for your own congregation. All I did was put them in a document and try to print them. These are the things you said that y'all wanted to see happen in this church in 2019. We announced it for 3 weeks, and then we allowed you to fill it out for 3 weeks. If you didn't get a chance to do one, I'm sorry. We can add to it later. But you can see what y'all want to see happen. So the first way that we're going to start growing in our faith individually, as a group, and in mission and service, is through prayer. We're going to pray over these goals. We're going to pray and see how God may be moving. And if they're God's will, then we will see that He will far exceed, abundantly exceed, what we've asked Him to do. The second way that we're going to start our new year, offered to you, is you'll see that one of those documents is front and back, and it's a scripture reading plan. We've had those before, but we're starting a new year, and there's two options. The tips and the directions are the same for both. I just couldn't get it to duplicate on both sides. But the first one on the front side is called New Through 30. It's a pretty intense plan, I'm not going to lie to you. You read through the entire New Testament in the first 30 days of the year. It's pretty intense. Might not be for everybody. On the back side, there's one, and I don't want the title to fool you, but it says 30 Days for New Christians. You could be a Christian for 70 years, and that reading plan would benefit you. It walks through basically the narrative of the Bible. And it's much smaller reading, and it will allow you to absorb it a little bit better. So don't let the word new throw you off. Don't feel like that one's, you're too good for that one. Because it's good. It's really good. But those are the two ways that we're going to be rooted and grounded in love. Those are the two ways that we're going to start. I can't make you do it. Can't make you do it. But if you want to see our church succeed, if we want to win the championship, then we need to practice like we want to win. If we want to truly transform the world, then we need to live like we truly want to transform the world. So the 1 minute version of what I could have saved all your time for is this. I pray that you will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit to grow in your faith in 2019. That Christ would dwell in your hearts to where all that matters to us is loving God and loving others. But most importantly, before all those things, I hope you know how much God loves you. And two of the best ways I know to experience God's love is to pray, to see Him move through prayer, and to see Him move through your life through His Word. So that's why we're starting with those two things. I'm excited about 2019. I know it won't be easy. There's not been an easy year yet. I know that in next December, looking out, it may look a little different than it looks today. But my prayer is that we'll all be together, unified, and closer to being the people God's called us to be. Amen? Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.